Okay, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I want to begin by offering my Hakaras HaTov appreciation to Yeshivat HaKotel and Rabbi Tarragon for organizing this really special, beautiful conference for the second year in a row. I can only think of what the Malachim and Shamayim are thinking about and singing about this morning as they see hundreds of people come together just to study Torah, to improve themselves, to help out their children. What a real special zchus for everybody here and for being part of it. My topic this morning, as you know, is talking about transmitting the joy of Judaism to our children. Seeing that there, and I was sort of suspected this from my experience last year here, talking about parenting, but seeing a lot of people here who don't yet have children, I'm going to speak about, since it's anyway very important in terms of talking about transmitting the joy of Judaism to our children, I want to spend the first few minutes just talking about how important it is for a person to be besimcha about his Judaism per se, even if he doesn't have children, how important it is for a person to rejoice and to be happy, to be besimcha in every aspect of their own Judaism. Of course, that's the most important ingredient in transmitting this to one's children anyway, and that is that the parents are always besimcha. And by the way, this is not just about transmitting the joy of Judaism to one's child. It could be about transmitting the joy of Judaism to one's spouse or to one's friend or to anybody who someone knows, how important the theme this is in Yiddishkeit. Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch wrote a pamphlet about chinuch, and in that pamphlet he writes that we send our students to yeshivos to learn a lot of the knowledge of Judaism. We want them to know skills. We want them to get a lot of knowledge, wisdom, but it's much more difficult for, at least in the yeshivos that Rav Hirsch, I guess, was referring to, but it's much more difficult for students to pick up the joy of being a Jew, the joy of Judaism from a classroom, somewhere where they have to be, where they're obligated to be, where they have to show up in the morning, every single morning, and they're going to be taking attendance. It's much more difficult. The home, writes Rav Hirsch, is a much more important and much more significant vehicle for transmitting the joy of Judaism. And how important is it for us to transmit to our kids? It's so simple. It's such a simple calculus, a simple equation. A child that enjoys Judaism will stick with his Judaism because people like to stick with things that they enjoy. Think of the things that we enjoy doing. The things that we enjoy doing, we like doing them again and again and again and again. So what greater role do we have as parents and as Jews? What greater role do we have than transmitting the joy of Judaism? Because if our kids pick up from us that Yiddishkeit is enjoyable, is something that they can really enjoy, then that's something that's going to stay with them forever. Certainly we're all familiar with the commandment that we have of Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha. The source that is most dramatic for me, always has been so dramatic for me, I've repeated this many, many times, about how striking the Torah's formulation about the importance of a person enjoying his Yiddishkeit. You're probably familiar with the fact that there's a parasha in the Torah, Parashas Kisavo, where the Torah lists 98 horrible and horrifying curses that are going to befall the Jewish people at some point throughout Jewish history. Somewhat of a dispute amongst the commentaries about what exactly this is referring to. Some say it was referring to Churban Bayis Rishon, Churban Bayis Sheni, the Holocaust, other times, terrible curses. Mothers will be eating the flesh of their own children. Things that we can't even describe, how horrible the curses describe Parshas Kisavo. And the Torah incredibly states that the reason for these 98 curses are going to be not because we violated Gili Arayas Shvichas Damim Avodah Zarah, but these terrible curses are going to befall the Jewish people. Tachas Hashelo Avartas Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha V'Tuv Leivav Meirov Kol. Because we didn't serve the Rabbonu Shlom B'Simcha. What kind of striking pasuk is this? And what's even more striking is the Torah seems to imply that we are going to be serving God. We are going to be Ovdei Hashem. But we're not going to be Ovdei Hashem B'Simcha, and because of that, we're deserving of 98 curses. And in source number 3, Rabbeinu Bechaya points out, based on this pasuk, HaSimcha B'Maaseh HaMitzvah, Mitzvah B'Fnei Atzma.
that joy when performing mitzvot is indeed itself its own separate mitzvah. There's the mitzvah, and then there's the joy that you experience when doing the mitzvah. Rabbeinu Bechaya understands that this is actually a separate mitzvah. And of course, we understand that this is so incredibly crucial. And the reason, l'chora, why the Torah puts such emphasis on this, it would seem that the reason is that one who does not express tremendous levels of joy when serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every mitzvah that he does, when a child comes to the home Friday night and he sees dad making kiddush, and when dad is making kiddush, if dad doesn't have a smile on his face and dad isn't experiencing and expressing to his family the joy that there is in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the joy of the Shabbos, the joy of the Yontif, as we'll speak about in a few moments, the joy of studying Torah, whenever a child sees his father or mother, sees his mom lighting Shabbos candles, sees his mom involved in preparing for Shabbos and cleaning for Pesach, if the child doesn't see the joy in Asiyas HaMitzvah, the joy in doing mitzvos on the parent, so the child gets the message that this is not something that's important, that the parent feels privileged to be involved in. If a person doesn't express joy, or what the pasuk is teaching us, why are we deserving of 98 curses if we don't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'simcha? Because we're basically saying, Yiddishkeit, it's not something important to me, it's not something that really I value, because something I really appreciate and value, I show tremendous joy when I'm doing it. There's no other explanation of this pasuk to say we're deserving of horrible, horrifying curses, other than basically someone who doesn't feel joy in his own Yiddishkeit, he's basically saying that the Yiddishkeit's not for me. It's almost like he's rejecting. He's rejecting all of Judaism. He's rejecting Yiddishkeit. If you don't feel joy when you're doing something, you're just doing it because it's a burden for you, because it's something that you feel you have to do. It's something that you feel that forced into doing. So you're basically telling the Rabbeinu Shlom that the program that he has set up for us here in life is not really worthy of your effort and energy and excitement and passion and positive spirit. And that's perhaps why it's such a horrible thing. This is all about joy when actually serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The next, and just one more point that you don't have on the source sheets, there's an incredible statement of the Magid Mishnah, it's very well known. You don't have it on the source sheets, the famous Rambam at the end of Hilchos Lulav, where the Rambam writes, HaSimcha sheyismach adam ba'asiyas ha-mitzvah ba'avas ha-keil. He basically just elaborates on this. Just one little phrase that I wanted, just so important for you to know. The Magid Mishnah in this commentary on the Rambam has one very penetrating line there, and he says, "V'ikar adavar hu she'ein roi lo la'adam la'asas ha-mitzvahs mitzachin chova alav." A person should never, ever feel any mitzvah when he's shelling out all the money for a lulav and esrog, when he's spending hours and hours cleaning for Pesach. A person should never, when he's in the throes of 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Yom Kippur and he's starved. A person should never feel that any aspect of Yiddishkeit brings him anything other than extreme joy. And here's the line, V'yase ha-tov mitzad shehu tov, V'yivchar be'emes mitzad shehu emes, V'yokel be'enov tirchon. When a person realizes he does the good because it's good, and he chooses truth because it's truth, it will become lightened upon him any burden or any dragging or any difficulty that he feels when doing the mitzvos. This is in terms of simcha in Yiddishkeit by itself. What about in terms of just the other aspect of being besimcha is appreciating the material gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has bestowed upon a person. Some people have more, some people have less. But generally, being besimcha and expressing joy towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the blessings that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, that's also a crucial part of service. In the parish of Bikurim, in that very same parish of Kisavo, V'samachta b'chol ha-tov asher nasan l'cha Hashem Elokecha ulaveisecha, that a person should rejoice with all the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him, says the Sifri, the Medrash, and commenting on that pasuk, b'chol ha-tov, zu hashira. Fascinating. V'samachta b'chol ha-tov, this refers to song. And the Malbim, in his commentary on that pasuk, quotes the Gemara in Erech and Yud Aleph, Amid Aleph, in source number 6, Minayin lebikurim she'tu'unin shira. From where do we know that when a person brings his first fruits, he does the mitzvah of Bikurim and brings his first fruits to Yerushalayim, there's a special obligation that a person has to sing
There's a song that a person has to engage in. Asya tov tov mehachan. Rashi explains there that when it comes to our pasuk that we said before, ksiv hacha b'chal hatov, uksiv hasam b'simcha uvetuv levav merov kol. So it says tov tov. So Bahavas Habikurim says the Malbim Amrushira Aromimcha Hashem Kidili Sani. That's the special song they would sing when they brought the Bikurim from the Mizmor Shir L'Yom Mizmor Shir Chanukah Savai of David. We say every morning Aromimcha Hashem Kidili Sani V'lo Simachdo Ivali. That speaks about all the Tovos and the Chasadim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And a person is supposed to look at all of life, all the blessings that he has, whether he has a lot or a little, whether he lives in a big house or a small house, whether he has a fancy car or a less fancy car or no car, whatever he has, a person is supposed to view Armimcha Hashem Kidili Sani V'lo Simachdo Ivali, which speaks about all the various Tovos. Says the Malbim, Ukimo Sheba Avodas Habore. What's this Gzeira Shava Tov Tov? From Tachas Hashelo Avartas Hashem Lekecha B'Simcha, says the Malbim, just like a person is obligated to express joy when he serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he davens, his davening is supposed to be a davening of joy. When he puts on tefillin in the morning, it's supposed to be with joy. Just like the spiritual acts that a person is supposed to do, the Gzeira Shava Tov Tov is teaching me, so too about the material things that a person has. A person is always supposed to be enjoy. Ukumo Shavonas Habore, Tisora Simcha Ide Shiros Tisishvachos. Just like when we sing, we know that the Levian sang Shira in the Beis HaMikdash. We know that singing is part of our tefillah. We daven, there are songs and there's poetry. And Psukei Dezimra are those chapters of Tehillim that David HaMelech sang in a certain sense. Or it was poetry that there was... So just like when we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in tefillah, there's song plays an element. There's Miros of Shabbos, there's Psukei Dezimra. So too, Kein Asimcha B'chol HaTov Tia Yidei Shir. That's where the Gemara quotes the source that when you bring your Bikurim, which is the mitzvah that's expressing your thanks to Hashem for all the abundance that He has given the farmer, one also has to express that specifically through Simcha. And look in source number 8, the beautiful comments of the Ksav HaKabbalah on this pasuk. I'll just look at the bolded parts. The Ein Lanu Davar HaMa'ores HaNoam V'HaTanag Elachosh Kiyofi HaTziltzul V'Smakol. So the billion-dollar music industry in the United States understood something that already the Ksav HaKabbalah already a number of years ago understood. Says the Ksav HaKabbalah, there is no thing, there is nothing that awakens in a person appreciation for beauty and joy like music. Hakiyofi atziltzul v'simakol v'skalvos hayavavos v'chalak lukusam hayotzim imine kli zemer. There's nothing that brings a person to joy like hearing a good song, hearing a good music. V'chein dibur hashiri, and poetry as well. And then take a look on page 2. Klomar, simchascha lo tia simcha levavis levad k'nima. The Torah here by Bikurim is teaching us that a person's joy about all the great things that Hashem has given him shouldn't remain inside. Ki im amnam tirba simcha b'chol mine nomeim dibure shire mine klizemer. He says, how much more so when you put the two together, where you have great music and incredible words, poetry, and you put the two together, and when you sing Shiros is the Shvachos Lashem, put them to music, there's no more enjoyable, and there's nothing more. He talks here about Shira. And then the end of the pasuk is, V'samachta b'chol ha'tova she'nosimcha Hashem elokecha ulubeisecha. Right? So the whole point is, what's the joy here? What are we singing by Bikurim? To appreciate. Not that we're singing about the fact I have such a big house, I have so much food, I have such a fancy car, I have so much, I have such fancy clothing. No. The goal is to appreciate the chesed habore, to appreciate all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given to a person. So, to be besimcha and to sing is not only important in spiritual matters, to sing is not only important to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu and sing shiros and tishbachos like we do by Bikurim, to appreciate all that Hashem has given us. Also, the third thing is that so far we've talked about being b'simcha as a reaction, or when we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it should be b'simcha. When we appreciate that which Hashem has given us, it should be b'simcha. And just the third thing before we get into the practical, because I really wanted to make this to discuss practical solutions of how to help our kids experience joy. Just the third thing, we know that the reverse is true too, that in order for a person to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order for a person to feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has to be b'simcha. As we see, the pasuk in Malachim Bei is talking about the prophecy of Elisha, That apparently what Elisha wanted to prophesy, he first needed a niggun. He needed somebody, he asked somebody to pull out the violin or pull out the harp or pull out a guitar, an instrument, and he said, Chuli menagein, bring me a musician. That's when he was able to experience prophecy, when he first was in the spirit of joy. Why? Because when a person's in the spirit of joy, when he feels complete, when he feels whole, and he's in the spirit of joy, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he could feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he feels complete. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's spirit only rests on a person when he's besimcha, when he feels complete. God is perfect, God is complete, and that's when his spirit rests on it. Similarly, right, we know that Yitzchak Avinu asked his son Esav to first get him a good steak before he would give him a bracha. Why was it important for Yitzchak to ask for a good steak, for a good piece of meat, before he was mevarech his children? Says Rabbi Rechaya so beautifully, Vaselima tamim, Vavur tevarech nafshi. Ein kavanas Yitzchak b'shelas ha-matana b'tanag ha-guf v'chush ha-tam. Yitzchak wasn't trying just to have a good steak, to have a good piece of meat for his own benefit. Rather, Ela Kadesh Tia Nafsho Smecha Umisaneges. He wanted his soul to be rejoicing and betanu. Ki behischaze kochos haguf yisoru kochos hanefesh. Says Rabbeinu Bechayai, because when a person is feeling good with his guf, that allows his soul to sing as well. And when his soul experienced that elevation, so he would be able to experience the divine spirit. As we'll see in a moment, that the Shechina cannot dwell on a person when he's sad, when he's lazy or sad, rather only when he's simcha. And he quotes that pasuk. And similarly, source 12, the Gemara states, Masechta Shabbos, She'ein Shechina Shora Lo Mitoch Atzos, etc. And the Maharal explains over there what I said before. The Maharal in source 13 says that the reason this is true is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfect, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not dwell his presence on someone who is not besimcha. And that's why in source 14, the Gemara states Masechta Brachos, and this is a little counterintuitive. We tend to think that the time that Hashem listens to our prayers the most is, let's say, Chas V'Shalom, Rachmana Litzlan, somebody's sick in the family and everyone's all depressed and sad, and a person gets up to stand before the master of the universe and he's sad and he's down and he's feeling low. And the Gemara in Shabbos makes an incredible statement that quite the contrary. Tana Rabbanan, Ein Omdim L'Hispala, Lo Mitoch Atzvos, V'Lo Mitoch Atzlos, V'Lo Mitoch Schok, V'Lo Mitoch Sicha, V'Lo Mitoch Kalas Rosh, V'Lo Mitoch Dvar B'Telem, Ela Mitoch Simcha Shel Mitzvah. That when a person stands in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as upset as he is, as down as he is, as sorry as he is, he's supposed to bring a certain sense of simcha and standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he davens, because the Shechina only comes there. Okay, let's, since time is short, I'm assuming I have till 11:45, perhaps we'll come back to sources 15, 16, and 17 at the end. Let's move a little bit onto the more practical realm, because I mean, you know, if I polled probably half the people here, half would probably want to hear more Torah, half would want to hear more practical solutions, I don't know. But let me go on, and we'll come back to this at the end if there's time. Let's
get until 11:50.
Oh, yeah, I think the next one's supposed to start at 11:50. I'm supposed to end at 11:40, yeah. I'm supposed to end at 11:40, but since I started 2 minutes late, I'm going to take it to 11:42, 11:43. Okay, here we go. So how do we transmit this to our children? That's what I'm supposed to speak about. That's what it was. How do we transmit on the children? So let's talk a little bit. So this one, again, I apologize for those who heard me last year at this conference, but this is really such an important idea. I spoke about it last year. Very, very famous statement of Rav Moshe Feinstein when he was asked, how come in the 1920s and the 1930s, where we had people being moser nefesh to keep Shabbos, our grandparents, some people sitting in this room, our parents and grandparents, who when they came right off the boat, they got one job for a week, and then at the end of the week, they had to quit their job and take another job the next week because they refused to violate Shabbos. And Rav Moshe was asked, our parents and grandparents were so mosa nefesh to keep Shabbos, why is it that many of their children, Rahman al-Islam, children and grandchildren, did not stay and keep along the same path if the parents and grandparents were so mosa nefesh for Shabbos? And Rav Moshe Feinstein said that it's true that the grandparents were mosa nefesh for Shabbos, but when they came home and they were fired from work that week because they had to keep Shabbos, they came home and their faces were down, and they said, Shver zu sein Yid. Oh, how difficult it is to be a Jew. And Rav Moshe said that even though the parents or the grandparents were mos hanefesh, but the message that was communicated to the next generation is how difficult to be a Jew. And I am not at all passing judgment on anyone who came home and said, Shver zu sein Yid. I'm not passing judgment. If I was in that position, I don't know what my reaction would be if I got fired every week from my job and knew that I didn't know where the food was coming on the table the following Monday or Tuesday. I'm not passing judgment for a second. But this is what one of the Gedolei Hadar, but the message is clear. For those of us who aren't being fired every Friday from our jobs, who sometimes, because of the various pressures of tuition, okay, I shouldn't have said that, various pressures of all kinds of things, or cleaning for Pesach, or the things that make sometimes to be, or waking up early in the morning for a minyan every day, or not being able to dress in the way that maybe we think is more comfortable for us because we feel that to dress like a Jew is a certain way, or for married women first experiencing the whole experience of covering their hair, or whatever the challenge might be for a person, to communicate that message of Shver zu sein Yid. And here's so important, whenever children look at parents, whatever I always say about myself, whatever little things I do wrong or challenges I have, little things, somehow when the kid looks at it, it gets magnified by 20,000. Like my kid will take one little fault that I have and run with it, you know, and use that as an excuse to like go times 100. That's just the way kids are. So parents have to be so crucial, so careful, never, ever to allow from their mouths anything like, oh, davening was so long today. What a disaster. Oh, davening was so, oh, the rabbi's speech was so horrible. Oh, it was so, he didn't know what he was talking about. Or oh, to clean for Pesach. Oh, Shabbos, I'm having so many people, I can't deal. That, or whatever it is, parents can never allow to slip from their mouths anything negative ever about Yiddishkeit along that the lines of the Shver zu sein Yid statement of Rav Moshe Feinstein. As I said before, when the father makes Kiddush Friday, when the parents involved in a mitzvah, the children should see only pure joy to perform mitzvos. And even if a parent is not feeling joy at the time, I think it's important for a parent to always, especially towards his Yiddishkeit. That doesn't mean you're not supposed to be honest with your children about challenges, and certainly a person should be honest, but a person has to realize about what a tremendous thing it is that he's doing when he's involved in a mitzvah, when he's davening, to wake up early for davening, or to schlep to a minyan when you're on vacation somewhere, and to go somewhere far, or to set aside times for learning when it's not so easy to do. A person should, right, prayer, the kids get our cues about prayer. You know, I made some mistakes with my kids about trying to, you know, to force them to daven or to tell them they have to daven. And then I learned it's much more important for the child just to see how much I enjoy davening. That works much better than any forcing, than any pushing, than any. If my child sees how excited I am to wake up early in the morning to go to daven, how excited I am to wake up early in the morning to learn, that goes so much further than anything else. Those of you who know, like in yeshiva, in school, I've made a very, very special point about certain times of the year. And I tell the kids in our yeshiva all the time that the main goal of our yeshiva, the Jewish part of it, the religious part of our yeshiva, the main goal is to transmit the joy of Judaism to our kids. I view that as our main goal. That's the number one goal. And that's why in yeshiva I've made certain statements about, I put in certain extra efforts to certain holidays of the year, which I think lend themselves very, very much to trying to transmit the joy of Judaism to our children. That's why Purim is a huge deal in our yeshiva, because Purim, of course, celebrates the joy of being a Jew. Simchas Torah in our yeshiva is a huge deal. And I'm saying it to you because I think parents, these times of the year that HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed in the calendar, specifically because he wants you to be able to use those times to experience that joy. So I think parents and families have to make a huge deal out of things. I got to tell you, in my house, the discussions about what the family, and I don't get dressed up for Purim because I'm, you know, because I'm no fun, basically. but basically, the discussions in our house about what the kids are getting dressed up, and my wife, and everybody is getting dressed for them, begin every year. It's official. Shabbos Hanukkah. Shabbos Hanukkah is when, on the Shabbos table afternoon, that's when the discussion begins. What are we? Because there's a buildup. In the house, there's a buildup. It becomes something exciting. The kids are involved in it. They're arguing. Should it be this? Should it be that? What's the theme of the year? What's been going on? You know, it's, you know, my wife is incredible at making every aspect of Judaism something that's like a game for the kids, that's like enjoyable, that's like an activity that they have to get involved in. You know, on Pesach night, forget about it. I mean, there's weeks of preparation before, and what's going to be the game to involve the kids in the Seder? What's going to be? It's got to be a joy. You know that Chazal even say, the Rishonim say, that the whole idea of stealing the Afikomen, the whole idea of stealing the Afikomen comes from this idea. There's a Meiri like that, and there's commentary on Psachim, that the Rambam's Lashon is Chotzvin Matzah Zu Mizu. The Rambam's Lashon is, they used to do that. They would have games. They would play with the matzahs to keep the kids involved. Right, Kadesha Yishalu Atinokos is like a theme of like half the Seder night, right? Karpas, everything. So there's this idea that if you can take the parts of Yiddishkeit and make it exciting for the kids, make it a game, make it enjoyable, make it something that they want to feel part of, that will help. That will help in the excitement. But I think these particular times of year, of course, any Yom Tov. I mean, you know, we try to also, you know, even the Tefillos and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. You know, there's people who have grown. And this is much harder with kids. I remember as a kid myself. I remember, you know, Rosh Hashanah was like the worst day of the year. It was like I just, you know, let's just like when it started with El already, and you know, people started to get more serious and. And like Rosh Hashanah, just like, let's get to Sukkot already, you know? Like, I can't believe I'm going to have to sit through like 72 hours of davening or Rosh Hashanah, and what am I going to do with myself the whole time? But there's a way, you know, so we have to do b'chachma to make it something enjoyable, to tell the kids they should just do a little bit what they find that they can get out of it and then move on. Like, we shouldn't force the kid to stand next to me for 7 hours on Yom Kippur, to make it something that's enjoyable for them. The other couple of things about this are also, and we're coming to the end over here, but especially the preparations, like the preparations for Shabbos. In my house, I know my wife puts a tremendous amount of effort. The key point is involving the kids. You know, I go to buy the lulav and esrog. It's become like already a whole production of the house. My kids are all coming along. I got all the boys who come along, and it's become, you know, this one looks that we learned the halachas beforehand, and this one's gonna check the tip of the lulav and check the hadassah, where there's three going up and down the whole time. You know, when it comes to the women of preparing Shabbos, that the kids should be involved in it. There's the baking, there's the cleaning, they should really feel that there's something special happening in the house. There's a Shabbos, there's a yontif. When it comes to Talmud Torah, Pekudei Hashem Yisharim Misam Chelev, the kids have to see the parents excited about their own study of Torah. The kids will enjoy the study of Torah if they see. So if they see their rabbeim, they have to see their rabbeim in yeshiva, so excited and so besimcha about learning. But they also have to see their parents. The boys have to see the father. They have to see the father excited about learning. And if the boys see the father enjoying his learning, then the children will enjoy learning, and they'll see that this is a value. The single most, the greatest influence on children before they get married is their parents. There's no question about it. Friends play an important role also, but the most deep and profound influence, usually, and I can't say absolute, that's what the Torah says, Al-Kain Yazov Ishas Avivis Imo V'Davak B'Ishto, because then, after that, when the child gets married, then the spouse becomes an even greater impact than the parents. That's what the Pasuk is teaching us, Al-Kain Yazov Ishas Avivis Imo V'Davak B'Ishto. Okay, I have to finish within a minute or two. What other practical, like my kids, I have one of my kids is involved always in grilling every Erev Shabbos. He grills the chicken. And, right? Most importantly, when a father blesses his kids Friday night, when the father makes the Kiddush, is he smiling, right? This is something that lasts. The more that we can involve the kids in the preparations and make them excited, Shavuos night, Pekudei Hashem Yishar Masam Chelev, when the children see the father being besimcha, going to shiurim, going to learn, hopefully that simcha will be transmitted. The bottom line is, it's all the most important thing is that when we are engaged in our own mitzvahs, our kids should see how much joy we get from the mitzvahs. And that requires work on ourselves to appreciate, to be an Eved Hashem, to appreciate, and not only in mitzvahs, but to appreciate all that we have and to say, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person should always be on his lips how he has appreciation to Hashem for everything he's given. And hopefully, if we can express our simcha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in serving Him, our Simchat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and all that He has blessed us with and all that He has given us, so our kids will get that impression, and we will all be zochet to see banim uvnei banim who are smeichim, who are rejoicing in their Yiddishkeit. And if our kids rejoice in their Yiddishkeit, the Yiddishkeit will stay with them until the final time when the entire world will be filled with simcha when Mashiach will come. May that day come in the heir of Yameinu. Amen.
I would just add that it's not a bad idea, maybe, that if a parent is challenged with a particular thing, to be honest about it and say, look, this is what I have to deal with.
I agree.